Okay. Welcome to the last session of the last day of TechEd. This is actually I usually get one or two slots, okay? I usually get the first session after the Geek Fest, okay, which is always a bad one because everyone's feeling a little bit dried out, a little bit hungover, or I get the last session on the last day. And guess what? Last session on the last day. So, hopefully that's coming through. Fantastic. Okay, so hopefully you are all here to hear about how we go about upgrading from SharePoint Server 2010 through to 2013. Okay, so basically, hopefully you've over the last 3 days, you've seen some really good stuff around SharePoint. Okay, you're super excited to actually want to go out there and start using SharePoint Server 2013. So now you're probably thinking, well, how do we actually get there? You showed us all this good stuff. What do we need to do to actually get there? And that's my job today, to actually take you through the steps and the processes that you need to do to get there. But first of all, just my usual, who am I? My name's Wayne Ewington, Principal Consultant for Microsoft New Zealand. Been there for about 12 years. Had a bit of a love-hate relationship with SharePoint. Basically, I used to deal with a number of other products, primarily around Microsoft Content Management Server, which used to be Encompass Resolution version 4, which was the product and the name of the company that we acquired before we moved it into Content Management Server. I used to play around with Tahoe as well, and Tahoe was SharePoint Server 2001. Okay, who knew that? Do you want a cup? Got heaps of swag to give away. Anybody want a cup? He wants a cup now. There you go. Okay, so I've got a bit of swag, as you know, to give away. Anyway, I'll talk about the swag. Okay, so I've got two last cards to give away. And I know this gentleman down here has been after one all week, so I've got my eye on him. He keeps on asking, give me a car, give me a car. We'll see what happens. I've got a number of cups. I've also got a number of T-shirts to give away as well. With regards to the cars, though, I do have a bit of a challenge for you. What I'll do at the end, is I will give you the opportunity to ask me a question about SharePoint. If I don't know the answer, you win the car on the condition that you can't answer my question. Okay, so that's the challenge back to you. Okay, so you have to think about your questions, you know, make sure that they're good ones, so don't ask stupid things. The other caveat is that the questions have to be related back to SharePoint. Okay, so, you know, make it appropriate, okay? But if I can't answer the question, I get the opportunity to ask you a question, and if you can answer, you get the car. Is that fair? Okay, cool. So anyway, going back to myself, I'm a Microsoft Certified Master on SharePoint Server 2010. So what that basically means is back in July of 2010, I got to spend 3 horrible weeks up in Redmond, where basically you get taught about SharePoint from the product team, from the experts who are actually out in the field. You then go through a certification process on that, which is having to set, at that time, 3 different exams, which were hard, incredibly hard, as well as have to do a hands-on qualification lab, which happens to be 9 hours, where you get given a list of tasks to do, and you know, basically you have to go through and actually do some stuff in a number of SharePoint farms, and you get assessed on that, and if you pass all of those 4 things, you then get the Microsoft Certified Master Certification. So I got that. I then got invited to do the Microsoft Certified Architect Certification, which the prerequisite to that is the MCM. So doing the Microsoft Certified Architect Certification meant I had to present a portfolio of my work to some other architects who then grilled me and basically gave me a really hard time. So somehow I got through that. So I'm a Microsoft Certified Architect as well. Subsequent to that, I've been invited on to the MCSM. So you're probably wondering what that is. So this is the revamp of the certification process. So we've got the Microsoft Certified Master Certification. That's been revamped to be called the Microsoft Certified Solution Master SharePoint. Okay. So I'm now on the instructor team for that and working with some other people around the world on, you know, working out the certification process of that, as well as being a SharePoint Ranger, which means I get to do some real cool work for the product team, working on engagements and some of the tough stuff that's actually out there. My email address is up there. I've had enough of spam, okay? But if you want to follow up on any questions, et cetera, don't hesitate to ping me an email. I will do my best to answer that question. If I don't know, I'll find out the answer for you. So, what are we going to go through today? First of all, we're going to look at what the upgrade requirements are. We're then going to look at what are the different upgrade methods that we can actually use from going to SharePoint Server 2013. And then we're going to look at some of the more of the plumbing, the infrastructure that's gone into place that has actually made the improvements of making upgrades easier for you. And then we're going to talk about this funny thing called deferred site collection upgrades and kind of explain what that actually means and how that actually fits in. So, without further ado, let's go into what are the upgrade requirements. So, from an upgrade requirement, your servers need to be running at least Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1. Okay, so that's a hard requirement. The other requirement is that you can't have any previous versions of SharePoint on those servers. So when you go to do the install of your bits on top of this, there can't be any other previous versions of SharePoint in there. So this is going to make it a little bit interesting if you kind of think about how we're going to do our upgrades, okay? So there's a bit of a subtlety around this. From a database server perspective, we need to be on 64-bit only, just like we were with 2010. That had to be 64-bit only. And that's SQL Server 2008 R2 SP1, or we can actually be on SQL Server 2012. Now, there is actually good reasons for going to 2012. So if you're setting up a fresh environment, you may want to seriously consider setting up SQL Server 2012 as your starting point, okay? Because there's some good stuff in there, which does make life a little bit easier. From a client-side perspective, you can use Office 2010 or Office 2013, okay? So what this basically means is that you do always have, you know, regression back at least one, V-1 version, but your richness is always going to be better with the latest, okay? So what this means is that if you've got SharePoint Server 2013, you're going to get a richer, better experience with the Office client matching on the same version. But you can always go back to a previous version, that will still work, but the experience won't be as great. Now, SharePoint Designer becomes interesting. So from a SharePoint Designer perspective, you can use SharePoint Designer 2010 with 2010 mode sites. Now, I'm going to cover what this means between a 2010 mode and a 2013 mode means. But if you've got your site in a 2010 mode, whatever that means, you can still use SharePoint Designer 2010 and go through and do all your customizations with that if you wanted to. With SharePoint Designer 2013, you can use it in both 2010 mode or 2013 modes, whatever those things actually mean. Is that for me? Nope. Cool. Okay, so SharePoint Workspace. So basically, this works with 2010, 2013, and that can work against either modes of sites. So basically, the underlying plumbing is still the same, although there's some better folder synchronization and capabilities been improved with the latest version on that. So from a client-side perspective, you know, we're pretty clean. We're pretty good from that perspective. It's just this funny thing around what's this different modes between 2010 and 2013. If we then look at it from a browser client perspective, which is usually the, you know, the big question, you know, particularly when you've got corporates that, you know, don't like rolling out the latest version. So just as a bit of a heads up around, you know, what are the different type of browsers you can use, we've got these, you know, basically what type of browsers do we support? So Explorer, Internet Explorer 8, 64-bit, or an IE9 or above, okay, was 2013. If you're running it with IE9 and 32-bit, there is some limitations. I think there's something wrong with that slide. Yeah. That, I need to correct that. So when the slides get released, this will be updated appropriately, okay? Sorry about that. That's a little bit bad. Now, with IE7, it's basically not tested at this point in time. So what that means, the way that we basically work with Microsoft is that if we haven't tested something, it generally means that it's not supported. Okay, so if you kind of take that into a bit of context around this. So at this point in time, we haven't done a lot of testing around IE7 at this particular point in time. So we don't really know if it's going to be supported or not supported at this particular point. So going back to some of the other browsers, it works, but with a few other limitations around that. Okay, so just be wary about that, and I'll get this slide updated. Okay, on to upgrade methods. Now, who watches a TV show called Survivor? Okay, quite a few of you. So the idea is that a whole lot of people get sent onto an island, okay, and they do have to do some different things, some tasks, and then they get to vote somebody off, right? So we end up coming down to having a clear winner or a couple of clear winners for each one. So if we go back to 2001 to 2003 doing the upgrades, this could be worth a cup here. Who was on the team there? What were the options for doing 2001 to 2003? Anyone? Sorry? Visual Studio, not quite. There's a cup here. You still not hungover? I can fill it with water. Okay. So with 2001 to 2003, looks like I get the cup, cool. We basically had two options. We had migration tools, or we had the ability to do what we called in place. So the in place was you took the binaries, you actually installed it over the top, and away you went. Okay, so a little bit of fun on that. So, you know, this was, you know, quite a little bit interesting, bit of fun. However, the tribe spoke, and they voted somebody off. Okay, so to go through the next round between 2003 and 2007, who did they vote off? Migration tools. That was you? You can have a cup. Correct. So, migration tools got voted off. So this allowed our in-place to go through to the next round. Okay. However, this was a bit of a surprise series. Okay. So not like the traditional where, you know, you can't have just one winner. We decided to introduce a couple of other, you know, surprise team members, you know, to come in and join into the upgrades. So what were the other upgrade methods available going from 2003 to 2007? DB attach, yep, you can have a cut. Hybrid, yeah, that's close enough. You can, I'm not going to throw it in case I hit somebody. I think HR will get involved in that. So basically, it was called gradual upgrade. Okay, so basically what we had the option here from going 2003 to 2007, we had the option to install the binaries over the top. We also had the option to take the databases out of 2003 and attach them into 2007. Or we had this funny kind of gradual upgrade approach where you basically installed the binaries over the top, but you didn't tell it to upgrade. You said, I want to take this particular web application and then upgrade it gradually over a period of time, okay, based on what your requirements were. So that was pretty funky, you know, and, you know, gradual upgrade, you know, looked pretty flashy, you know, hence the camera. So what happened when we went from 2007 to 2010? Gradual upgrade got voted off the island. The tribe had spoken. So what we basically had was in place, going through, and DP attach, wait for the animation, going through from the 2010 to 2007 to 2010 upgrade. So this is looking pretty good. I mean, we've got in place upgrade now coming right through, right from the very beginning coming through. What do you think happened for the 2010 to 2013 upgrade? The tribe has spoken again. In-place upgrade has gone. So all we've got now from going from 2010 through to 2013 is DB attach. Okay. So I made a comment before that one of your prerequisite requirements was there was no SharePoint server bits on the server. This is the reason why. We're only supporting going from 2010 to 2013 DB database attach method. Now the other question that sometimes comes up, I'm on 2007. How do I get to 2013? You have to go via 2010 first. Okay, so there's no upgrade path from 2007 through to 2013. You have to go through 2010, even if it's an intermediary step, to go to through to 2013. Clear as mud. The tribe has spoken. We have a clear winner. Okay. Okay. So the question is, could this be done off a temporary license versus having to buy a full license? You can have a cup for that question. In fact, you've got a choice. Do you want a cup or a T-shirt? Both. You can have both. Okay. For both, then I will answer your question. We've got a 2XL. It's towards the end of the week, come on. And an XL. Okay, XL thing. So So to answer your question, I'm not actually a licensing person. I usually hear the word license and I assume a fetal position under the desk. So I was actually quite impressed with myself that I didn't suddenly cringe down there and didn't pop up again. Okay, I don't actually know the answer to that question. Do I get to ask you a question? Okay. If you've got software assurance, doing my, you know, political hat, then if you've got software assurance, then obviously you've got the ability to do the upgrades and take that through. So good reason to have software assurance. Yep. Oh, good point. Yeah, good point. So what Patrick just mentioned there is that if you're on Foundation, Foundation doesn't actually have any licensing fees. Okay, so even if you're going from whatever it's called now, SharePoint Foundation 2013, whatever it is, then there's no licensing involved. Question over there.
Yeah, when you answer that question on licensing, they could buy the 2013 license.
Right.
Take advantage of downgrade rights, upgrade to 2010.
Okay. So the comment there, just for everyone else and for the recording, is that you could buy a 2013 license. You can take advantage of downgrade, which then provides the ability to use that and then take the upgrade through. So it's still only whatever licenses you require from a 2013. Thank you. Do you want a cup?
I'd like a shirt. You only have the giant.
Oh, I've only got the giant shirt left, but there. Okay. There you go. Thank you. You obviously work for a vendor or license account reseller, so thank you. Cool. Okay. So, sorry, there was a question back there. Sorry. Okay, so the question is, can you go from 2003 to 2013? Apart from jumping a decade, you would need to go, you have to go 2003 to 2007 to 2010 to 2013. Okay? Okay, so if you're doing that, that's going to be painful, very, very painful. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's have a look at our upgrade methods. So like I said, our clear winner is DB attach. Now I'm also going to make clear about this. This is only doing version-to-version upgrades. That's what I mean by V2V. So within SharePoint Speaky, we tend to talk about doing V2V or B2B. V2V is version-to-version. B2B is build-to-build. So build-to-build is something like deploying your cumulative updates, which hopefully you're doing on a semi-regular basis. That's basically doing your B2B. So for doing the database attach, that will still work for V2V. It will also work for V2V and B2B upgrades. And it works for the content databases as well as the service application databases as well. So what we're going to look at very shortly is which databases are actually going to be supported from a service application perspective and which ones aren't going to be supported from a service application perspective. If we're doing an in-place farm upgrade, this only works for the B2B. So you can still deploy your cumulative updates, which will be released at some point in time, take those forwards, and that will still work on doing an in-place upgrade, which is where you go through and install the binaries over the top, run the psconfig command, which does the upgrade, and away you go from there. So from a supported databases perspective, okay, obviously the content databases, that kind of makes sense. If we're upgrading the project DBs, and if Paul Conroy's in the room, no, that's good, because he loves project server. If you've got the project databases, the four DBs actually get merged down to one database. So just something to be aware about from that perspective. Search admin is supported, okay? So you're probably thinking, what about the other search databases? Mm-hmm. Okay, so no, okay? They don't come through. The user profile, that makes sense. User profile social. The user profile sync is obviously missing from here, so we have to do that differently. Manage metadata needs to come through. Secure store will also come through. However, if you do that, you'll also need to have the farm passphrase in order to get that to come through, which kind of makes sense because that's actually used for doing the encryption to keeping those, you know, those passwords that you're actually storing in there encrypted and safe, etc. Now, if you're doing the access databases, now these are supported but only for a B2B. But why is that? Okay. So what we're talking about here is the access databases associated with the Access Services 2012. So if you came to my part two session where I talked about the new service applications, one of the new service applications we got is Access Services 2012. Now what that basically does is it creates a new, a site collection which has its own database associated with that. Those are individual databases that get created as doing that for the Access Services side. So that's only going to work for the B2B, and it's not a big deal from doing an upgrade perspective because they don't exist in 2010. Okay, so all good there. So unsupported. The configuration DBs. Well, that's no surprise. They've never been supported. So this is the SharePoint configuration DB, which is basically the stuff that SharePoint uses behind the scenes to store all the configuration settings in there. The search index. So unsupported for V2V, no surprises. And the user profile sync, unsupported again. So we can't do that. Now, the other interesting thing, too, is what happens from an authentication mode perspective. So what we've got is we've got Windows Classic support. So we introduced claims authentication in 2010. Now, that worked in 2010, but with a few limitations and a few issues around that. Okay, so you had the bit of a choice between Classic and Claims. If we're now doing Classic, in 2013, we're now regarding that as being deprecated. So it will work, but there is a few known issues around still running Classic authentication in a 2013 environment. So what this basically means is that when you go across from 2010 through to 2013, you'll need to think about upgrading or changing authentication mode from Classic to Claims. Now, the general guidance we're giving around this is actually to do that in your 2010 environment. So get that working 2010, do the conversion of that, then bring it across into 2013 already as Claims authentication. That's the general guidance around that. Now, the reason behind this is that we don't want to get you confused as part of the upgrade process. Where are the actual issues? Is the issue actually to do with the upgrade, or was it the issue to do with doing the conversion between Classic and Claims authentication? So that's why the guidance is do it in 2010, make sure that all works, get that all honky-dory, okay, and then do the upgrade across to 2013. From forms authentication support, no changes there from 2010, and that all works honky-dory, so that's all good. The only caveat around that is usually when you're doing forms-based authentication, you're doing some customizations, you know, modifying the web.configs in the various places. You just need to make sure that you've actually got that implemented before you do the database attach. Otherwise, you're going to get issues. Okay, so pretty standard stuff. So what we're going to do, unlike what we did before, is we're now going to jump in and do a little demo of upgrading a content database. Now, this is not going to be too spectacular. It's going to be a little bit boring, but I just want to show you how to do it just in case you've never done it before. Now, I've been told if I hit the red button, things will... Oh, fantastic. This is when hopefully I haven't got my password in. I don't click on that. And it's a nice long password. And looks like I got my password. It's going to time out. I forgot how to spell on the man, on the man, on the man. Okay. This is cool. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll... Anybody got any question? Oh, there we go. Cool. Okay. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I'm still the man. Okay. So how do we go about doing the old database attach? Okay. So what I've got is I've got a number. In fact, I'll just zoom in here so you can kind of see what we've got down here. So basically, this is my lab environment that I tend to use. Because I tend to play around with a whole lot of different configurations, different, you know, scenarios, I need to have a number of different servers, a number of different farms got out here. So what I've got is I've got my 2010 server sitting here, And I'm only going to be playing around with this one. Now, this is running the current CTP build that's out there. So it's not the latest, greatest build. It's one of the ones that are publicly, I think it's publicly available that you can go through and download. I've also got my SQL Server box running. So this is running SQL Server 2012, you know, with the latest bits on that. And I've got an AD, and my domain's called Ewington.local. Okay, so that if you're trying to work out what the scenario is that I've got here. So if I go into my 2010 environment, I've already gone through and created a website. Hopefully this is still all up and going. Okay, just to prove that it's no smoke and mirrors, do we want to do a modification or do you trust me that I'm going to take this through? Trust me? Okay, cool. Smoke and mirrors, okay? So it's tech-ed, okay, we're going to take this through, okay? So that's a little bit of a proof that we've actually got there. So to take it through is actually pretty straightforward. To go into SQL, okay, running SQL Server, like I said, Denali, or SQL Server 2012. Ah, how many people have seen their SharePoint databases lined up like that? Okay, a few people. I hate GUIDs, okay? So just as a little bit of background, what I tend to do is that I tend to name my databases a particular way. I tend to, as an example, start them off with SP, so I understand what they are, which farm I'm dealing with. I then got like my configuration database for that farm. I then got my prefix with the content and then saying what the content's actually for, and all my service applications prefixed with the service. So I can very quickly understand where my what my databases are. So something I do, a bit of a recommended guideline, keeps your DBAs happy, okay, because they get a little bit upset when you start, you know, getting these GUIDs and you don't know what your databases are associated with. It also means I can quickly find that particular database. So I happen to know by looking at that, that happens to be, ta-da, content TechEd 2010, that's for that particular web application, the content DB for that. So all I'm going to do, is, since I like using the UI, is I'm going to simply do a backup. Okay, do a full. I'm going to kick it off there. This will take a few seconds to go through, provide that it works. It's 80, 94%, just about down 100. Okay, one thing about being a SharePoint person is that you get to learn SQL as well as some of the other stuff. So there's my backup. Okay, the date, time's about the same, about right, 10:22, close enough. So I'm just doing a copy of that. I'm going to simply put that in my SQL backups, paste it, since I did this before, overwrite it. Now it's going to go slow. Cool. So that's copied across. And then I've got, since I'm being incredibly lazy, what I've got is that I've got a little bit of script, which you could actually do through the UI if you wanted to. So all I'm doing is basically creating that, and I'm moving over an existing database. So, sorry, what I should have said before was that I've actually, under that farm, under my other farm, I've actually created a web application with a dummy content DB in it, just to create the web application, and I've created up, in fact, I didn't even need to do that, oops, but I've created a dummy database, which I'm actually going to overwrite, to put into my SharePoint 2013 farm. Okay? Pretty straightforward, standard. Not a big deal. Whoopee. So I'm going to run that script. Okay, that will take a few seconds to go through. And while that's going, I'm going to jump across to my 2013 environment. Bring up my... Oh, I haven't got it going. Cool. Central admin, and I'm also going to bring up PowerShell. So what I've got under here, just to make life a little bit easier, just to explain, the first command is obviously just adding in the snap-in, so that's no surprises for anybody that's done this before. The first thing I should do as part of doing the database attach is I need to test to make sure that there's actually no issues associated with this. Okay. So what it's basically going to do is run some validation rules on this to make sure that I can actually attach it successfully, that I've got all the customizations, all the other features across on here, all good. I then do a mount of that content database and basically mount that into the web application that I've got. So nice and straightforward and pretty simple. I'll jump back, make sure that that's restored. That's restored, that's done. I've already run the snap in, so that's all good. I'm just going to do an F8 on that, and that will run the script. So it's come up, and even though this is a completely vanilla, no customization, it's actually come up and actually identified a number of different issues associated with that. So I'm just going to do what everyone else does when they do an upgrade. I'm just going to mount it anyway. Okay. So that's actually going to go through and attach that onto it. Sorry, I've got a question over there. Okay, so that's a good question. So the question was, is there a minimum upgrade? The answer is they're still determining what it is, but it's at least, from what I understand at this point in time, which may change, is Service Pack 1. Okay, so since we can't install Service Pack 1, it's unsupported to have Service Pack 1 by itself. You also at least need the June CU, June 2010 CU as well. Okay, so it's Service Pack 1 plus the June CU as well. That's to be confirmed, okay? And that's my understanding. Okay. So that's still going through, that's going to run. Now what this is actually doing in behind the scenes is it's actually doing the upgrade of the content DB. So this is going to take probably a few minutes to run. So while that runs, we'll flip back and look at what some of the upgrade improvements are. Okay, so the question is, while the upgrade's running, can you jump in and look at the upgrade screen to see what's actually happening? And the answer to that is, yes, you can, but I'm not going to, because we're going to move on. I do realise this is the last session on the last day, and I'm between myself and the drinks at the end of this, so I want good evals, so I don't want to be the one that holds you back, okay? And I've still got two cars to give away. Okay, so upgrade improvements. What have we actually got here? So a lot of work has actually gone into making the upgrade experience a lot better. The person that actually looks after this in the product team is a guy called, Sean Livingston. And this guy is deeply, deeply passionate about doing upgrades. He lives, breathes doing upgrades. In fact, he's a bit of a sad dude, but he's a lovely chap. And that's just been recorded, and I hope he never listens to this. Okay. So I'm in trouble, okay? So no good evals from Sean, okay? So, but he's a fantastic guy. I mean, he just wants the... Okay, he just wants the upgrade experience to be fantastic, the smoothest thing. But this is one of the reasons why we're only doing DB attaches now. So we're trying to keep the DB attach, the best actual experience that you can have from doing the upgrades. So part of this is that we're actually doing a lot of work behind the scenes to make this better for you. So we've got this funny thing called a deferred site collection upgrade. Now this is a little bit weird, and we're going to go into a little bit more detail behind it, but essentially what it does is that when we attach the DB, we're not actually upgrading the site collections which are in there. So this provides us the ability, as part of the upgrade, to actually do the upgrade a little bit quicker. Because what we can do is that when I did the mount of that database, it's actually updating the schema. It's not actually updating the content that's actually inside the site collections and inside the other databases that are there. The other upgrade improvement we've got is that we have got these site collection health checks. So what we can do there is go through and do some specific checks to make sure that can you actually do the upgrade. We can also do this funny thing called upgrade evaluation site collections. We're going to go into what that means. We get system event notifications. We've got a lot of things that go around the logging changes that we've got to make diagnosing upgrade issues a lot cleaner. And we've got this funny thing called site collection upgrade throttling, whatever that means, which we will cover. So the first thing is going through and doing these deferred site collection upgrades. So what this basically means is that we can take a 2010 site collection and get it to run within SharePoint Server 2013. And it works. Okay? So basically, we can take it across unchanged, and we can actually take that existing site that we had over here in 2010, drop it into 2010 without actually having 2010 installed on the server. If you're, ooh. that, That's a car. I don't know the answer to that question, and you may grab a car for that. Okay, sorry, I have to ask you a question.
Yes,
okay, what's your name? Does he get a car? You can have the keys without the controller. Sorry, you can have the car, grab a car, that's fine. That reminds me of Monty Python, you know, the life of, what's it? What's the average speed of the hummingbird? What's your favourite colour? Red, I mean blue. Sorry, that's completely thrown me. Okay, so the key thing about this is that 2013, SharePoint Server 2013 actually has all the SharePoint Server 2010 files available on the file system. Okay, which basically means, which kind of comes into why we've got these two different modes, SharePoint 2013 mode versus 2010 mode. So what it basically means is that when we take things across, they come across initially as SharePoint Server 2010 mode, or as we call it, SP14 mode. So basically, the idea behind this is that this replaced the visual upgrade approach that we used to have under 2007. Sorry, under 2010 we had the visual upgrade, which relates back to your question. In fact, thinking about it, I could guess what the answer to that is. I think that would still work, I think, but I'm not sure. But basically, it's a bit more of a safer process. Now, what this basically means is that we can have different types of features. So we can have the 14-based features running side-by-side with the 15-based features. So this makes it quite interesting how this actually works behind the scenes. Now, if you've got any existing customizations, the goal behind this is that they should just work, provided that they've actually been deployed and put out there. Now, the default state, which I've already alluded to on this, is that we don't automatically force the site collections to be upgraded when we do the mount of the database. So when I've put it across, it'll be running in, by default, in 14 mode, or SharePoint Server 210 mode. What we've also got then is that we've got these site collection health checks. So basically what we've got is that we've got a number of health checking rules that will run when we go to do the upgrade. So these will go through and check for common blocking issues, such as, you know, are you missing something? Have you got any post-upgrade issues? I mean, for example, if you haven't converted over to claims authentication, it will detect that and give you a warning around that. So we're trying to make it a lot easier for you to actually do your upgrades behind this. Now, when we go to do it for upgrading the site collections or the actual content that's in there, we're doing this on a site collection basis. Now, we've got a couple of different modes around this. If you're a site collection admin, we can actually do it through the site settings and go in there and do an upgrade, and I'll show you what that looks like. Or if we've got the farm admin, we have got PowerShell commandlets to enable you to actually do the upgrade to go through and take that forward. With regards to the health checks, basically, these get run automatically on a version-to-version upgrade. So they're always going to happen. If you've got something that's going to stop you from doing the upgrade, it's actually going to do a hard block on that, and it won't actually do it. One thing to note, though, is that the health checks don't actually run on a B2B upgrade. So if you've got any warnings or issues that happen on a version-to-version upgrade, which you should probably resolve, they're not going to be revalidated when you put a cumulative update into place. Okay? So the other cool thing we can do is that we can do this upgrade evaluation site collection. So we could kind of go, right, I want to test this out, you know, see what this actually looks like if I do convert it and upgrade it from 2010 across to 2013. So we can basically have these two site collections running in a side-by-side mode, you know, as an evaluation type copy. We can also get it runs as a timer job behind the scenes. We can get a notification to say when this actually happens. So the way that this works is quite funky. What we've got is that we've got a potential site that we've got sitting there, which is in the content DB, and we know about it from a configuration DB. What we've got is that we've got a timer job that basically kicks off. What will happen is that if you've got SQL Server 2012 Enterprise, okay, which is what's required, sorry, or 2008. Basically, we need the enterprise feature. It will take a snapshot of that database. If you don't take a snapshot, basically what will happen is that you'll get a bit more of an outage and it puts it into read-only mode. So this is actually the way to go. So basically, if you're thinking about doing this upgrade as a bit of a gradual approach type thing, you may want to seriously consider about having SQL Server Enterprise Edition, because snapshotting is only available in Enterprise. So what it will do is basically take a snapshot of the database, of that content DB, puts it into read-only mode, and basically it starts cloning that site back to another site collection as an evaluation copy of it. So kind of think about what we've done. We've taken the database, taken a snapshot of it, so we're not going to impact everyone else, so we've got a solid state version of it. We're then going to create, based off that snapshot, an exact replica of that site collection back in the original content DB. What it will then do is that it looks at the sitemap. So what we've got in the original configuration DB, we've got the sitemap, which will have the original site collection, sites foo, and it will then add in, provided that it does, it adds in the evaluation site collection into that. So now we've got our original, and we've now got the evaluation, which means, hopefully, that we can actually go through now and actually see that particular. So we can navigate in and have a look around that new upgraded site to make sure that it's okay. Can you guys start clapping to upset the guys next door? Yeah! And then Visual Studio sucks. Visual Studio. Sorry. My background's actually development, so I shouldn't be saying that. So. Okay. So that then becomes available, and then it flicks over. You've got the evaluation site collection, and then the snapshot basically gets deleted, and we're all away laughing, okay? So it's quite a cool little feature that we've got here. So you can go through, do an evaluation, not impact anyone else, and actually see what's happening there. Obviously, the caveat around this, though, is that if your content DB is large, do think about capacity requirements, because you are doing a direct copy of it. So if you've got like a 20 gigabyte content DB in that site collection, you're going to need another 20 gigabyte site collection in order to do this process. So what will then happen is... Okay, so the question is, if you've got database quotas, does the quota apply to that clone? And the answer to that is yes. Okay, makes sense. The quotas are based on site collection basis, right? So you're creating a new site collection. Okay, so you still got the quotas on that. Okay, so the observation there, if you restrict the number of site collections, the quotas will still kick in, yes. That's my understanding. Okay? It's beta bits. Anything can change. You're going to ask for a car now, aren't you?
For some reason, if that upgrade fails,
yep.
Do you restart it again, or
Oh, okay. So if the upgrade fails, because it is an evaluation, you can actually go through and delete it. So you can say, no, I don't want that. So if the upgrade, the question was, if the upgrade fails, can you delete it? And the answer to that is yes. It's an evaluation. It's not the true thing. Okay. So what we've also got is that we've got these system bar notifications. So what we've got is, if we're in the left-hand side, you're still under the 2010 mode, so the 14 mode. What we get is that we get this nice little bar across the top, which basically says, you know, do we want to upgrade and try the experience? And while it's actually doing the upgrade, we then get this other bar going across the 15 mode, okay, basically saying that we're actually doing the upgrade for you. So you do get this notification so that the users can actually see what's happening there. So some of the other changes that we've got is that we have got around the upgrade logging. So the cool thing about this is that the log files have been finally changed to be a TSV format, tab separated variable format. In that. So this makes it a lot easier to go through and do your analysis of this, which basically means you can use other tools such as ULS Viewer, okay, to go in and look at your log file. So this makes it a lot easier to go through. We can also port these into Excel if you want to. And the other cool thing too is it includes a correlation ID. So if you've got a particular issue with one of your sites, That's going to have a correlation ID associated with it, which means you can go through, find that in the log file, and do the analysis of it. The per site, every time you do the upgrade, you've actually got the logs, and they are available to the site collections administrators to go through and have a look at. So that provides the ability for them, without having to reach in and go out to the server and find the log file, because they can't touch the log file, they can actually click on a link there and it'll bring up any errors or show what the status of that was for that particular upgrade. Now this works for B2B and V2V upgrades as well, and it's actually stored as a content within the actual site collection as well, so it's pretty cool. Okay, upgrade throttling. So take the scenario where you've done the database attach, you've taken it through, now you've got all these site collections that need to be upgraded. What we don't want them to do is you don't want everyone to start hitting this and doing the upgrades at the same time, because obviously that's going to put a performance impact onto your farm, which could impact your users. So what we have is that we have got this throttling approach mechanism on the actual upgrades. What this basically means is that we can basically throttle when the upgrades are actually going to occur. So if everyone goes through, we've got, for example, 100 site collections, and we run 100 site collection upgrades at the same time, the throttles will kick in, and we can actually streamline those and spread them over a bit of period of time. So that actually works quite well. And they work at a number of different levels. So they work at the application pool level, the content database level, and the content level that we're actually upgrading. So basically, this is controlled for you to make sure that the farm's actually nice and stable and doesn't do anything stupid for you. And if your job can't actually be kicked off initially, there's a timer job that kicks off later on, which will go through and run the upgrades that are available. All good. So how are we doing for time? Okay. So deferred site collection upgrade. So how does this actually work then? So we talked about these two different modes. Now this is a horrible slide, because it's got far too much information on it, but it's actually got a lot of rich information. So what I'm going to do is kind of draw your attention to a couple of things. First of all is that what we've got is that we've got this in-place request routing layer that kind of sits in there. So depending on whether or not we're coming in on a 14 mode or a 15 mode, it basically comes into this one location and says, what mode am I running in? What it will then do is actually direct it off to the appropriate place. So if we're running in 14 mode, it will go out and grab the page from the 14 location. The 14 location? What we've actually got on the server is that we've actually got a 15 route and we've got a 14 route as well. Okay. Now this could be a question for a car. Why are they called the 14 and 15 routes? You're not allowed to answer. This guy's been after a car all the whole week. Do you know the answer to this? No? Does anybody know the answer? Oh, I know you do, David. Versions? Okay. So, yeah, it's related to the versions. So SharePoint Server 2007 was called the 12 Hive. No, it's not the years. This guy. This guy with his hand up in the grey top. Front page extensions, yep. So it's to do with the front page extensions. Why was SharePoint Server 2003 called the 60? Why was for 2003 it was called the 60 Hive then? It's being mean, aren't I? Do I give him a car? Give him a car. Okay, come and have a car. Okay, that car's yours, okay? You already got a car. Okay, so the car's still up for options. Okay, so a little bit of history, a little bit of digression. Okay, so basically it's to do with the web server extensions. So the 2003 went into what was called the 60 Hive, which stood for 6.0, which was basically IIS 6.0. When we bought out 2007, that could also run on Windows Server 2003, which also had IIS 6 on there. So you couldn't actually differentiate between them, so they made it based on Office 12, which is a product version number, so it became the 12 Hive. When we bought out SharePoint Server 2010, we actually jumped a version because 13 is meant to be an unlucky number, so we called it Office 14, so it became the 14 Hive, and now we're on to 15, which is now the 15 Hive. And don't you think it's ironic that we're actually calling the product SQL Server 2013? Don't get it. Okay. So anyway, what we've got here is that we get the page, it gets pulled out of the 14 location, out of the 14 routes. That can potentially pull the stuff out of the database that we've got here. So the templates that we've got, brings it out of the content DB. Also very interesting, though, is that we've also got these assembly redirects. So even though you're running under 14 mode, you haven't actually changed the code. What it's actually doing is that it's doing, a bit like it does in sandbox solutions, it's doing the binding redirects to the other location. So that goes through and works okay that way. So if we continue on, what about features? So we've got this concept of having a fallback feature. So if we come in as a 14 mode and come in and hit this, and we're looking for a particular feature and we're running under 14 mode, we've got a couple of different scenarios that we actually handle here. One of them is that could actually be a SharePoint 2010 only feature. So that's all good, that works well. If we've got a feature that's actually been replaced by a 2013 feature and we're coming in as a 14 mode, that still works as well because it's going straight down and finding it. If we come in and we've got a deprecated feature and we're coming in 14 mode, that will still work. So that's all good. So we've got complete backward compatibility and we're all good to go. If we come in as a 15 mode, so we're saying we're coming in with the upgraded version, the good, you know, nice looking UI, we could actually have a feature here which is for 2013 only. Okay, so that's all good. That's going to work as expected. If we come in with a feature that replaces it, what basically happens is that it finds it under the 15 hive and stops because it's found it. So what we've basically got is that we've got a new feature which has completely replaced the 14 mode feature. So that's all good. If we've then got the other one, which is deprecated, what they've basically done is that they've changed the setting on that to make the visibility of that false. So that means you can't actually activate new features on that when you're actually in the 15 mode. So what we've basically got here is that we've got the option then to cover that. So what happens then if we're in the 15 mode and we want to use a 14 mode feature? That works because basically the process it works, it goes looking for it in the 15 mode. If it can't find it, it then drops down to the 14 mode as a lookup and uses the 14 mode features as a last resort. So this becomes quite important, I'll answer your question in a second, is the way you actually structure your features. So if you've got something which is 15 based only and you don't want it, you need to think about how you're actually going to do the overrides, et cetera, on that. Sorry, your question. Okay, so the question is, I'll paraphrase, okay? So your question is, you're running in, say, 15 mode or whatever? 14 mode, can you use apps? I believe the answer to that is no. You have to be in 15 mode to do it because it's got some features and functionality on that. Okay, that's my understanding, but I could be wrong. Okay, that's my understanding. Oh, my God, questions are coming up. Oh, sorry. Do you want a cup?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There you go. And
what's the plan for compatibility beyond JavaScript?
Okay, so the question is what's going to go forward? Okay, so essentially, you can have a thing. Oh, sorry. Okay, so basically this will be the mode going forward, a bit like how they got the version numbers on the features, et cetera, as well. Okay, so this will be the approach going forward. Okay, but anything could change.
Is there any performance overhead to this?
Okay, so is there any performance over here with the dual mode? No more than normal. Ben, you can have a cup. You don't want one? You got cups. You want a cup? Okay. You want the car? Okay. Okay. Okay, so the question is, can you run some tools? So that really comes down to the upgrade validation checking. Okay, so that will kick in. Oh, damn, that's logged off. Okay, I'm just conscious of time. Got 4 minutes left and still got a little bit of content to go through. So, okay, so unsupported in 14 mode. basically what we've got here is that if you've got anything that's new specific to SharePoint 2013, you have to upgrade to 15 mode. If you've got web analytics in there, because that's no longer a service application in SharePoint 2013, you're going to have to remove those features. If you've got the Office web applications in there, you need to remove that and basically replace that with the WAX server functionality, which is pretty cool. And if you've got the PowerPoint broadcast sites, has anybody actually used that? Standard answer from everyone, okay? So basically what that was the ability to actually set up a special site, which basically would, you put PowerPoints into it and you can actually broadcast that out, okay? A bit like what Link does. So what we've basically said is that use Link instead, so you need to actually remove those sites and get rid of them. And if you've got the project web access sites, you have to upgrade to 15 mode because they're unsupported. So what I was going to do is do a demo real quick, and I need to type my login again. And I am over running. Well, that's all completed. So if I go over to my TechEd site, TechEd 2013, that should run. Ta-da! Come on. Okay. Oh, trust me, I'm going to flick back. It's still working. Okay. So, in summary, DB Attach is a clear winner, but only on new hardware. You have to migrate to claims first. That's the guidance around that. Lots of upgrade improvements. You can do 14 and 15 mode. And I'm going to show you this in 2 seconds. We've got related content, so that's stuff that's happened in the past. Thursday happened in the past. We're all finished. You've got drinks left. You got my email. Okay. Ask me any questions. Follow up. I've still got 2 cars to give away. And I don't believe it. This was working. Damn it. Damn it. Okay, I've done something silly on there. So I will need to... I know what the issue is. Yeah. Basically what I've actually got, I forgot as part of my upgrade... No, that's not the issue. I forgot to run the script to convert it over to claims first. So I ruined my own demos, okay? So I should have actually, it's actually running in classic mode, which is why it's come through and said, right, it doesn't know who I am, because basically the tokens haven't been taken across. So to get this demo to work, what I would have to do is run that, do the backup, do the restore again, take it across, and get that working that way. Otherwise, if you want to wait for 2 seconds, I will cheat. There's always more than one way to get into this. Hopefully this will work. User policy. Add user. Add myself. Administrator. Cool. Typo. Remove. I really hate the way it does that. You want to be able to type online. Administrator. And I've still got 2 cars to give away. Full control, finish. Hopefully this will work. Okay. Got one car to give away. You want to ask, he's been busting all week. Ask a question. What's my middle name? I'm not allowed to say. You can have a car. I feel so sorry for it. That's for you, okay? Okay. So just to quickly finish this off, okay? So what I've got here is that I've got this nice little bar in here. So I can say, right, I want to do it, or I can remind myself later. If I go into the site actions, site settings, so notice this is on my 2013 farm. I've still got the same look and feel, same user. What I've got is that I've got the site collection upgrade. So what I can then go on here is go upgrade the site collection, okay? Or I can try a demo upgrade, which is do the evaluation copy that I want to try. So I'm just going to go through and go upgrade. I'm ready. Do you like this real groovy language they now use in SharePoint? A bit of an inside story. Because we work in Microsoft, right, you have all these Facebook, you know, posts come up, or their statuses will be, I'm working on it. Or you get, oops, something went wrong. It was quite funny. I guess they need to get out more. So anyway. Okay, so this basically kicks off. This is going to do a refresh, okay? And love the icons. They haven't got the image map in there on this particular build sorted out. And this will actually, after probably a few minutes, depending on the speed of my machine, will actually convert over, and we'll be over into the new mode running under 2013. That's me. I did give away the car. I have still got 6 cups left. Come and grab them. Yeah, come and grab them. And that's me. Thank you. Enjoy the drinks.